Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Robbie Summers, thanks for being on the podcast, man.
Dude, we're here, Steve. This is awesome.
I'm stoked to have you.
I'm excited. It's going to be a good episode. It's always good to spend time with, hang out with you and spend time with you, talk about business. So I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, seriously. Thanks for coming. I know I've interviewed you before, and it's always mind-blowing every time because, I don't know, it just, every time I talk about you with the sales thing, you're on just this other stratosphere. And it's fun to just, you know, glean your wisdom, really.
Man, you're really setting me up for some
I'm good, setting. You're going to close,
got,
right?
Good job, dude, don't I? I like it. That's all right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, yeah, seriously, though, like you really are. I mean, before this, I've asked you how much you've actually closed over the phone sales wise. And just to throw a number out there, because like, I think it's important. There's a lot of people who teach sales, and you're like the best salesperson I've ever met in my life. What is it though?
I've done over $100 million in personal sales, over nine figures in so many different niches, so many different places. But in my lifetime, over $100 million. And my sales team's much more as well. So.
Yeah. So it's safe to say you know what you're doing.
I've done this and it's this is not my first rodeo, and it's funny too, Steve, because so many things in your mind, in your head, you always don't want to over talk who you are.
Sure, sure.
And you gets into it's one of my superpowers is definitely sales, and it's something that I know and I understand, and I've got a track record behind it.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love doing it. And the coolest thing about it, though, Steve, that I love about sales is that so many places and so many people, they look at sales and they get this like negative connotation of what sales is.
Yeah.
And they think sales like this bad, this dirty thing, or it's what the greasy used car salesman does. You know, like it's,
yeah.
Maybe a lawyer has a batter. Has a batter. That's a great word.
It's got a batter.
A batter. A worse stereotype.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Than salespeople. But most of the time, salespeople don't get a great, there's not a great stereotype behind it. And the beauty about sales, when you look at it, is sales is just helping people out.
Yeah.
If I've got something that can help somebody out and can help improve their life or somebody around them, and it doesn't matter if it's a coaching program or insurance or real estate or a candy bar at the grocery store, and everything in between, if I've got something that can help somebody out or do something for them, it's kind of my obligation to sell them. And it's a good thing if I'm doing it with the right attitude, the right mentality, and the right purpose, that I'm really out there to help people out.
Yeah.
And, it's crazy too, to think that like with $100 million in sales, that the number of people that on some level, some aspect, you know, I've been able to help them change their lives, do something a little bit better, a little bit different. And, it's really a cool thing, cool feeling to be able to know that. And I'm just out there and I'm just helping people out.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you think about like we're talking a bunch of innovators, right? A lot of innovators follow this. And I think when they hear the word sales and I'm helping people out when I sell them, there's obviously this, there's kind of this like, well, they have to believe that in order to actually sell. Like when you think about all of the, here's my point is like, you have all these people out there that are teaching sales stuff. Why is it that your stuff is so effective compared to how these other formulas that are out there? You know what I mean? Cause like what you do, cause I've watched you and you sold me on stuff. And at the end, I literally am thanking you. I'm like, here we go. But if I go and I talk to somebody else, like 99% of other salespeople I've interacted with, it does not feel that way. There's pressure. There's high pressure. It does feel like there's a taking going on. And there's this magic, dude. You have a genie in a bottle of the ability to go, and you're not tricking me either. You know what I'm getting at? Why is your approach so different compared to everybody else's?
Steve, I think it has to be your intent has to be in the right spot in the right place. Huh. And it's funny because you mentioned me selling you something.
Yeah.
And Steve, I've sold you into Russell Brunson's Inner Circle program.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the first time I sold you into it, it started. He stopped it for a while, and he was getting it started back up. And I went and talked to you, and you'd been in it previously, and you were like, "I don't think I'm going to join right now."
Right? I remember that year.
Remember that?
That was several years ago. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, your business was just getting off the ground, and so the cash flow, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
this is like 5-6 years ago, and you know, and so it's just like, hey. Can I really afford $50,000? And can I do this? And can I put that into the into the next year? And is that part of my business? So I'm at 50 grand. That's a new car. You know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about a little amount of money. And I remember I asked you about it, and you were like, hey, I don't think we're going to do it this year. Hmm. And I could have looked at it and said, okay.
He's out.
He's done. And I
closed the lead.
Away.
Yeah,
I could have walked away.
Yeah.
I could have high pressured and said, these are all the wonderful things that it's going to do for you, and why you need to be in. Here's all the deliverables, and here's all the bullet points of why it's going to be awesome, and how much time you're going to spend with Russell, and what he's going to teach you. And I looked at you and I said, Steve, what do you need? Because you need to be there. And I don't know if you remember that, but. But when it comes back to what do you need?
Yeah.
And when I make it all about the other person, here we are, we're sitting at an FHL in Orlando, and you're saying, hey, it's not for me. And you know, if you know what the product is on a level, and you know what the people can do and what can do for them, it's your moral obligation to help them out. And if I make it about them and I make it about you, and hey, what are the things that would hold you back, or where's the resistance coming from? And if I can remove that just by saying, hey, tell me what's going on. What do you need? How can I help you? That level of resistance becomes very easy. And when it came down to it, Steve, there wasn't a lot of resistance that you had. And most of the time, especially on high ticket sales, and if your leads are coming the right way, there's not a lot of problems that people have. And if you'll just talk to them, you'll have a conversation with them, and you'll make it about them rather than you. You'll be amazed at how much easier sales come and how much more fun it is. Last week we were here and I did a little presentation with your group of people here and in our mastermind. And the first thing I said is nobody cares about what you're selling.
Your
goods, your products, your services, they don't freaking matter.
Drill into this for a moment, because
no, Steve, everybody is like the entrepreneur, the innovators. And I tell them that, and they're like, so many of them automatically will shut down because they're like, no,
I love my product. That made this amazing thing. Yeah. Don't tell me. It doesn't matter.
It's my baby.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Right.
It's cute and it's amazing and awesome and all these things. And for some of them, I'm going to say, listen, your goods, your products, your services, they do not matter. And the person who's buying them could care less about your goods, your products, your services. They only care about one thing. What are those goods, those products, those services? What are they going to do for me? And so we go back to that example of Inner Circle, and hey, Steve, what is Inner Circle going to do for you? And hey, Steve, why do you want to be in Inner Circle? What do you need? And these are the things it's going to do. And well, Steve, gosh, do you feel like if you had that year to work with Russell and the team that you'd be able to get to where you want to be and it'd help you to do the things you want to accomplish? Well, yeah, it does. Mm. Now we look at it, and Steve, last time you got a great idea from Russell. Now think about it, Steve. Last time you got a great idea from Russell, how much money did it make you? Give me like honest, real, legit number.
I mean, probably $1 million.
$1 million. Okay.
Yeah.
So Steve, listen, hey, I'm gonna stack $1 million in cash right here on this table, $100 bills, okay? $1 million, and Steve, I'm gonna ask you to give me back 50 grand. Yeah. $1 million, I want 50 grand, but are you okay with that?
Yes.
oh, like 5%. We're not even talking 10% of what, like, and so now all of a sudden when somebody looks at it and says, oh, hey, it's not about me going in and doing this, and this is what the mastermind's going to deliver, and all the goods and the features and benefits of my product. It's like, oh, this is going to make me $1 million. Now, and then Steve, if we take another step and we say, hey, let's dig even deeper. Gosh, Steve, if you made an extra $1 million this year, what that $1 million do for you?
Yeah.
For your family. Hey, Steve, hey, if you had that $1 million coming in, you had that $1 million idea, could you spend more time coaching your daughter in gymnastics? Could you spend more time at the gym? Could you be like one of those crazy cheer dads? Like whatever it is, like, and then you start digging into that more, and it's like, hey, what does that money actually do for you? And how's it going to change your life? And at the time, the vacations, that, hey, you know, we did that. And then it's like, hey, and now we can go up and we spent a week in Alaska together and we went fishing. And
So
now it's like all these things that, oh, so it's not just about the bells and whistles, the features and benefits of what the mastermind can do, what Russell can do. It's all about what is that going to actually do for me? And so if I can look at that and I can get past the
thing itself,
the wall, you guys,
entrepreneurs
have this, I love Tommy Boy. Chris Farley is one of my favorite actors of all time. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you remember in Tommy Boy, he's sitting in there and he's talking about selling brake pads and he's talking about his pet. And he's like, I love my sail and my pet and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And then all of a sudden he destroys the sail, and it's like, send out the paddy wagon. And he lights, I don't know if you guys, he lights the model car on fire.
Yeah. So here comes the meat. Yeah.
Okay. And the guy's like, get out. Do you validate? Right. Okay. But if we can get past the, listen, people don't care about this. I need to find out what it's going to do for them. Because as human beings and just psychologically, because the only thing we care about, our number one, most important favorite topic in the world is ourselves.
Yeah.
So if I can take that and I can turn that with the entrepreneur and say, listen, you're good, your product, your services. Don't tell me about your bells and whistles. Don't tell me about your features and benefits. Tell me how my product, your product is going to change my life in whatever ways I need it changed, whatever it's going to solve. If I want a candy bar, I want a candy bar because I want a sugar rush, because I want chocolate, because I want a little extra energy, whatever it is.
Sure.
So it's not, nobody looks at a candy bar and says, I wonder how much cocoa beans are in this and how many peanuts are in this. And they might look at the nutritional information, whatever, but it's what is that actually going to do for me? It's not the ingredients in the candy bar that people are interested in.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I like that you get to this point where you're like, because I remember the last few sales calls I've been on, and you said something a couple of weeks ago when we were chatting also, that it's, I get really, I'm an offer creator, right? I build offers and I put offers together. And so it's very natural as the innovator for me to start going through what all the things are inside the offer, which I think is a good thing to do. But you take it beyond that, you know, where it's like, I'm going through the, I keep holding the wine. Let's say this is the product, right? I'm like,
our water bottles
are the product, right?
I'm like,
it's got this black top on here and it's got this red thing and there's a capless pig thing right here. And then it holds water and it holds a liter, right? But you go past that and you say, and you actually figure out more about what it actually does in their life. And I can look.
Hey Steve, why do you want more water in your life?
Right. And that's what the question is. And instead I'm sitting here and the innovator inside all of us sits back and goes, my gosh, well, if I don't understand the product to the nines,
they're going to love my red number nine dot color on the bottle.
Yeah. They're going to love all this stuff. They're going to love the sticker right here. This is my favorite hot sauce. This is like they don't care about any of that. But the innovator within each one of us, when we get in the sales seat, I think we can have a huge tendency to really like destroy the sale. Like we really are the initial best salesperson for a short period of time. And then we become the absolute worst salesperson for our thing because we're so freaking close to it.
Steve, as quickly as possible, the entrepreneur wants to get away from the role as the head salesperson.
Yeah.
As fast as he possibly can. And the reason is because you get blinded by your goods, your products, your services, you fall in love with them and you can't see any of the shortcomings. You can't see any of the problems that it might have. And you also, here's the biggest thing is you're not finding out exactly what your customer needs and then telling them or making sure that's what your product actually fulfills on. And so I could be talking about all of my features and benefits of my product. Mm. Okay. And so I can mention all the things I think are important, right?
Yeah.
Okay, like the water bottle, it's red and it's got the sticker, but hey, the most important thing to me is that all the water bottles, they have a top that seals firmly.
Yeah.
Okay, so water doesn't get out. Now, because for me, that's not a big deal. I don't care about it. My water bottles, they seal it firmly. I know that no water's getting out. But if I ask them and say, hey, what's the most important thing for you in a water bottle? And if they say, well, it's got to be red or it's got to have a black top, I'm set and I can focus on that. But man,
how often are they going to say that, though? That's not why they're buying it.
I have to ask them.
Yeah.
I have to find out. And I've got to understand that. Okay, so for me, it's my hot sauce sticker. For them, it's that the water bottle doesn't leak.
Right.
Okay. And so now all of a sudden it's, if I can find out what they want and I just ask them a few questions, hey, where are you at? What do you want? Now all of a sudden I can say, hey, so just in my pitch, man, this water bottle, it's amazing because I know that the most important thing to you is a water bottle that doesn't leak. And check this out. This water bottle, it doesn't leak because it's so, look what, I might not never have ever been talking about it because it's not one of my bullet points. It's not one of my bells and whistles, but it's the most important thing to that person.
Yeah.
And so I've got to find out what they need, what they want. And now all of a sudden it's like, they're like, holy cow, your mule sauce sticker is awesome. They see that now, but they're like more excited that it doesn't leak. And it's, yeah, I'll take 10,000 new bottles.
Mm.
Okay. And so if I take the time to find out what's most important to them, and just by asking them questions and realize it's not about me. I've got a friend that used to work at RC Willie. That's a appliance store here in Idaho. And he would always sell the fridges, the washing machines, the dryers, based on the features and benefits. And nobody's in there buying a washing machine because of the capacity or the color or how it fluffs your clothes or anything else.
But that's like what a natural salesperson would start to jump to. And it's also what the innovator would jump to. Like, and that why we should not be in the sales seat.
Hey, you walk onto a car lot and the sales guy, look at the horsepower on that thing. That thing's got 700 horsepower and it goes 6,000 miles an hour. And
yeah.
they're listening. It's got leather seats and it's got backup camera and it's got heads up display and it's got all these things. And the only thing that the middle-aged guy cares about is, man, I'm going through like midlife crisis. I need a Corvette and I'm balding a little bit and I want to pick up chicks. Like, he doesn't care about the horsepower. And so, gosh, why are you looking at a sports car? Well, my wife just left me and like I'm out and I'm back in the dating world again. And but
it fits a very different need than what the mechanics can come out and point out. And like 2% of the market is going to get into that level of stuff.
It's not about your stuff.
Yeah.
The washing machine.
Yeah.
It's the lady who's like, she comes in like, you know, makeup's not done, her hair's frazzled. And she's like, I need a washer and dryer. Great. Well, let me go through all the features and benefits of each one of them. And
it's going to annoy her.
She is going to get annoyed and she's going to get upset. And like, great. So why do you want a new washer and dryer? Because my washer and dryer just broke and I've got 5 kids and I've got laundry that is coming out everywhere. And like, I literally just need something where I can put everything in and do one load of wash. Like, and so you need the largest capacity washer and dryer. Yeah. Hey, what would you do with your free time? How many loads of laundry are you doing every day? Oh, I'm doing 3 or 4 loads of laundry every day. So if you only had to do one, what would you do with all your free time?
God, so you go to the next bit, the next point, man.
No, that's why she's buying that washer and dryer. It's not because of the capacity or the color size, or it's not because your coaching program has this bullet point or this thing or this thing. It's what is that coaching program? What is that washer and dryer? What is that car going to do for the person? And if I can get to what is it going to do for you, the sales become very easy.
Yeah.
Problem is the entrepreneur can't see past the features and benefits because the features and benefits are the most important thing to him because that's why he created it.
Right.
And so that's what he wants to tell about. Imagine trying to sell a Snickers bar and walking in saying it has 700 milligrams of hydrogenated protein.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Like techno babble.
This is why you want to buy the Snickers bar. There's the features and benefits. No, I want it because it tastes good. It makes me feel good. Gives me a pickup. Whatever. I'm not hangry anymore. Is another the commercial.
Yeah, the commercial with Betty White or whatever. Yeah,
I'm not hangry anymore. You know. So it's if I can get to why they want those things, I want to pick up more girls.
Yeah.
I don't want to do as many loads of laundry. Guys, listen, Mike. All my sales. I've got this great product. I've got this great offer, and everybody that I'm talking to. Man, they're just not seeing it. It's just not coming through. And I've got this thing I want to get out in the world. And so now the entrepreneur guys, you've got this good, these goods, these products, these services, you want to get them out in the world. The fastest way to do that is to remove yourself from the sales process. So first of all, because you're too close, the second thing that it does for you when you remove the entrepreneur from the sales process is it gives you, I call it posture. But it also gives you some credibility, and it helps assure the person that you're talking to that you're the right person for the job, for whatever it is. And there's some examples that I can use. Imagine you're at a doctor's office. If the doctor went and did his exam, okay, and he's like, "Hey, there's the exam. It's all done. I did the physical, the full physical, right?" And he's like, "Okay, well, that'll be $150. Thank you, sir." I'm like, "You just had your finger where? And now I'm paying you money? Like, this feels a little..." But no, I go to the receptionist and she takes the money, you know.
Yeah.
And the doctor's also not the one that's out there that's doing the marketing. He's the one that fulfills on the services. The innovator's the one that needs to create, that stay in there in your zone of genius, in your superpower.
And get out of the way.
Why on earth would you do something that's not in your zone of genius when there's so many people out there that can do it and they're going to be able to do a better job than you?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get tied into the weeds of your... That they're not in love with your water bottle. They're in love with, "Hey, how can I help people out? What can I do? What is this going to do for people in the long run?" Now they see that the sales become very, very easy.
It's interesting because I like to teach, a lead is when someone naturally within themselves says, "Tell me more," and raise their hand. When I see you go through this process though, it's fun because I feel, I don't want to buy a washer and dryer, but you going through just that quick example, I'm like, "Man, maybe I should buy a washer and dryer." Like, I feel within myself that same sales emotion where I'm like, "I want to buy something." And you're doing it without saying, "You want to buy something." You're not telling them to raise their hand. You're getting them to raise their hand and say, "Wait, how much is it? Wait, can I buy more? Is there a deal? Is it right? Debit or credit? Is it a credit?" You're getting them to say within themselves how much they want to go buy. And I've never seen many people no salespeople do that. Everyone instead, they present the offer, then they're like, "A reason to buy now," and that's it. It's like, it's slightly oppressive.
They do the close and so great. What's it going to take for us to get into this car today, Steve?
Right.
Here's what.
And I just went through a presentation instead of you talking me through why this car matters so much to me, how it's going to change my life, instead of like, "Well, this car has four wheels. This car has got..." That's, and they're feature and benefit focused instead of like what it actually would do for my life post purchase.
Steve, when you flip your sales and you stop going from features and benefits and you actually start going to what does it actually do for the person? But it's so funny. It's hard to ask for the sale and it's uncomfortable because like I've been asking for money and it's, should you ask for the sale if you do the end of it and you haven't asked for it, hasn't come up? Yes, you sure. Absolutely.
Of course.
That's just basics.
Yeah. Right?
But more often than not, at the end of our conversations, people are like, "Great. So, how do I pay you? Like, how do you can I wire you the money?"
Yeah, they're asking.
Yeah. And so now all of a sudden, instead of it, like, "Great, how can we get you signed up for this today?" And that hard, uncomfortable close, whatever it is.
You're asking me. It's the other way.
No. "Hey, how soon can you get me into this Corvette so that I can go out and..." I mean, it's Thursday. If I get in this, that weekend's coming up.
Weekend's coming. Let's go.
Steve. Yeah. How soon could you get me this Corvette?
All right.
I'm the mom with loads of laundry and I'm sitting there and thinking, I have piles and piles of laundry sitting at home. And with my washer and dryer that's like on the fritz right now, it's literally going to take me days to finish it. And I could be done with all of it in one or two loads. Now all of a sudden it's because it's all about them rather than it's all about
my product,
how many wheels I have or my goods, my product. And it literally does not matter. It's so funny. People are like, "Well, this doesn't work with my products. Okay. This won't work.
I'm not selling something in the business space. Therefore I can't." Yeah.
I don't care if it's a candy bar. I don't care if it's a washing machine, a car, a coaching program, a mastermind, or anything in between.
Yeah.
People buy based on what it's going to do for them.
Yeah.
And if somebody comes in and they buy our sales services, Steve, okay, and they're like, "Hey, we want the sales lever to come in. We want you guys to help us out and to leverage things." It's not because they love that we have systems and we have software and we have all these things set up. They love it because they get to free up their time.
Yeah.
And because they're leveraging somebody else to come in and say, hey, I'm leveraging my time here. And it's not because we're doing the sales. It's because their time is freed up. Now they can go coach their kids' t-ball team.
So, yeah, I want to drill into this a little bit because, and shift gears just sure. a little bit here too. Okay, think about this. The innovator is sitting there. They're creating the product. They're putting it together. And all the lenses so far when you're brand new is I need something to sell. And so you create that something and you kind of exit phase one of business. You're going to phase two. And now you start, what is it that, because I feel like we should ask this in two different phases. Brand new companies, where is the big mistake that they're making in terms of sales? Where can they get the most leverage compared to a big company that's past 10 million, past 100 million, where can they get the sales leverage? Like, because in both of those questions, getting sales leverage, it seems like the entrepreneur is most of the time out of, it's not like Steve Jobs is walking around doing his own sales calls, right? So what is it these organizations are missing? Because I'm just, as I look back at all these people that I've helped create offers, it's not that their offer is bad. And when I look back at my first 34 failures, my first 34 products were actually really good products. The reason they didn't take off had nothing to do with the product being bad. It was a sales and marketing problem every single time. And then I finally figured out the marketing thing. I was like, sweet, got the formula there. But now I think a lot of people are stuck in the same thing, right? Economy's like kind of plateau, like it's tough right now. Where can new organizations get sales leverage? And then where can the existing ones get sales leverage? Because the entrepreneur's got to get out of the way.
Yeah, you're right on. The entrepreneur's got to get out of the way. And Steve, I would actually say that it's, whether it's a solopreneur or it's a, you know, multi-million dollar corporation, that the answer is the same. And it's to zone in on people's superpowers, people's zone of genius. And so if you go out there and as quickly as you can for you to get away from you doing the sales and to hire somebody to come in and do the sales, the great thing about a sales guy is a sales guy shouldn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Especially if you've hired them right the right way and you know how to hire them, you know how to find them, you know how to get out there and find the right salesperson. So it's a superstar sales guy. So if you come in and you hire them the right way,
which you fired like 1,000 people, right?
I've hired literally 1,000 salespeople, yes, in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And a lot of the reasons, so many, some people are like, well, that's a good experience. It's kind of crappy too. Like I had to go through that many people to figure out like how to actually do it,
sure,
and nail it down. But I've done it so you don't have to, and, right?
Yeah, basically.
Speaking of, see, we're actually into a master class where one of the things I'm going to teach is how to find bulletproof salespeople. Just, so it's something you guys watch for. It's going to come out and finding, hiring, and training bulletproof salespeople it'll help you guys out. And it does take a little bit longer. One of the biggest problems people have when they're looking for salespeople, and if you're a solopreneur, don't go out and find your buddy who did a couple of sales in college or did something, or someone who needs a job in your family. Don't hire them as your salesperson. Go out and find a sales professional.
That's like what a new business does wrong.
Yes. Don't do that as a new business. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that salesperson will cost you money. And whether it's in loss of leads, loss of time, loss of sales, whatever it is, that person. So go out and hire somebody the right way, find them, bring them in.
Why is that? I can already ask, I'm hearing the questions. Why is it that hiring your buddy from college is not a good sales decision?
Well, because it's not their superpower.
Oh, okay. Just straight up skill level.
That could even, so how does somebody obtain the superpower? There's definitely somebody who has never sold ever before. And some of my best salespeople, Steve, have never had an official sales career, a sales profession. Yet you've got to find the right people. You got to know who they are. And you've got to be looking for that right type of person, that right type of mindset. And there's things that we do in the interview process and finding them that it just literally, it markets to the right salespeople and it narrows them down. So the only people that you get in are the right people who are going to come in and are going to be able to move your business forward. And then for a large corporation, it's not hiring that one sales guy. It's having that sales team, or the technology, the power behind it to be able to leverage your sales without having a huge sales team. And that was one of the things that we found out. And this was before ClickFunnels with Russell and I. We had a team of like 60 sales guys, and
it's huge.
It was massive, and it was a lot of work, and for not huge returns. In relation to the amount of work that was going into it. And so what we did is we said, hey, we're going to hone in our marketing and we're just going to create some better leads. And so what we did is we created better leads. So we had less leads to, the entrepreneur had less work to do because instead of him having to create 1,800 leads a week, he had to create about 60 or 70 leads a week. And it was 60 or 70, the right leads, the right people. And we actually had higher sales volume with two people compared to 60 people. A lot less headaches, less problems, less leads. Everybody top to bottom is a lot happier. Our dollar per lead went from like $100 per lead up to $1,500 per lead just by having the right systems in place. And that's what we've developed over the last, sales has been my whole life, last 35 years. Since I was 10, I sold light bulbs to go to Boy Scout camp and, you know, sold them really to business. Yeah. Anybody who, hey, your lead's got to be good. I've done the cold call. I've done from phone book. I've done door-to-door sales. I've done all that. There's money in them. There's a way to do it, but there is a better way. And if you can have leads created the right way, everybody makes more money. Everybody's happier. So whether you're the small solopreneur, go out and hire the right salesperson. Bring them in and have them working through your stuff and make sure they understand the process and make sure they understand it's not all about your goods, your products, your services. See, you told a story once about that. I'd left ClickFunnels and I came back in and you had just started working with Russell and you thought I was going to come in and like learn about all this new product, all this stuff that they're doing, right?
I remember that. So yeah, it was, I'd only been working at ClickFunnels for like 2 months and I get a message from Russell like in the morning, super like 2 a.m., you know, and he's like, I'm so psyched. Robbie's going to come in. It's going to be great. And I was like, cool. It's awesome. And we had been building all these products and launching things like crazy as we did. I assumed that you were going to come in for that week. And all right, tell me about the offer. And I'm gonna be like, okay, check it out. It's a red water bottle and there's a hot sauce sticker on it. And there's this, and you didn't do any of that. You literally picked up the phone and started going. And at first I was like, how can he sell without knowing all the little pieces? You know, I'm much more of a marketer than a sales. I'm not bad at sales, but it was cool to watch what you did though. And I think you more than doubled the rest of the sales team combined in that 1 week.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But every time you came in to do that, you would do that. And I was like, this guy is clearly a straight up master.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was funny. I caught my vow of poverty for 5 years and went and taught kids about Jesus and the Bible. And
seminary and stuff, right? Yeah, it's great.
It was a blast. I loved it.
But it's awesome.
During the summer, there was one summer that it was like, hey, let's come back up. And
and then you're just clean house.
In two weeks, I made more than my entire year's salary of teaching seminary just because you come in. But if you come in, you do it the right way. You don't have to go through all the details. Your salespeople don't have to know about all the ins and outs and how everything works and how it's all put together.
Yeah.
They have to know what is it going to do for the person? How's it going to help them? How's it going to improve their life? And then I just get them to tell me how my goods, my products, and my services are going to improve their life. And it's if they're at the car dealership, if they're RC Willie, if they're on the phone with me for a Steve Larson lead, a Russell Brunson, or a sales, how's this going to bless or change your life? What's it going to do? How's it going to improve your life?
Yeah.
And now you tell me, like, how's this water bottle, all the differences it's going to make in your life? And I'm going to stay hydrated and be healthier. I'm going to be able to spend more time with my kids. And I'm going to live longer. Now I can have grandkids and like all these things. And it's like, hey, this is like a $3 water bottle. And all of a sudden it's like, turned into Steve's oldest is like 10 and now we're talking about his grandkids, but because it's all about him and what he wants and where he's going and how this is going to help him to get there.
So, okay. So on the other side of this wall, right, I built this, it's supposed to be like a sales floor and this is back before, you know,
before COVID,
before the pandemic and all that crap. And I was like, I'm going to have a sales floor. I'm so psyched to have it. It's going to be great.
Everyone
was doing that. Right. And now the virtual is totally better, I think now. And I remember I can clearly look back on all of the salespeople I brought in. I had 12 people at once back there selling like crazy. And we used to have it as part of the training that they would come in and they'd spend a week or two going through what they were selling. So like, you're going to sell this program. I want you to go through the program. And it seemed logical. And I think that's what a lot of new entrepreneurs and organizations do. They're like, okay, I'm going to send you through the very thing. Learn about it. The water bottle's red. Look at this. There's a hot sauce sticker. And what I started noticing, I was like, sweet. So the first sale came in and I was like, oh, it's awesome. This is going to change. We had like 2 sales come in 8 months. And I started listening to, it didn't take me 8 months to start listening to the sales calls, but a little while in, I was like, what are they saying on these? It was very apparent that I had accidentally turned those 12 people into coaches because they knew the thing so well. Like anytime I've ever had a salesperson come in and get that intimate on what they're selling, they always slip into coaching.
See, it's so funny you say that. I'm going back to the sales floor we had with Russell with 60 sales guys.
And I couldn't reverse them. Sorry.
No, I couldn't reverse.
I had to get rid of all of them.
You can't.
Yeah.
So we had the coaching program and we had coaches and the coaches work. Hey, why are the sales guys making so much money? And
right.
they're having more fun. Like they've got gongs and they're like have spiffs and like things that they're doing. And like it's cool and all this stuff. And I want to be a sales guy. And I would tell myself, no, coaches can't do it. And I'd get sold because sales guys are easy to sell because we like to be sold, right?
Sure.
And I'd get sold on why they should be a sales guy. And these coaches would come in and they were just bombed. They know the product better than anybody. They know all about it. They know the ins and outs, the nuts and bolts, top to bottom. They've been coaching it. They've been teaching it.
Yeah.
They couldn't sell it because all they want to talk about was the nitty gritty. And so either one of two things would happen is they would talk about the things that don't matter to the customer.
Mm.
Or they would never find out what the customer actually wanted and how it was going to solve their problems. They would just, I call it, they vomit on. They just start coaching. Yes. And now all of a sudden they're either like, okay, that's not what I need. Or see, that was exactly what I need. Thank you for all my help. I'm done. I don't need to buy anything now.
Dude, I literally got a message from so-and-so, this guy's over there. And I was like, I could tell he's just killing it. I was like, this guy's going to sell him. It's going to be awesome. I get a message from the person he's on the phone with after. He DM'd me and he goes, I just want you to know that was the most valuable call I've ever gotten in my entire career. Thank you so much. And I was like, well, why didn't you buy? And I went and I talked to the guy and he's like, I helped that guy so much. And I was like, you would have helped him more if you sold him because he could have been in the program. I could have worked with him, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, I have a team of coaches.
So Steve, he is so worried and so concerned, okay, about, hey, let me spew all this vomit out instead of what's actually going to help that person. And yes, I can help somebody out a ton in an hour-long conversation, half-hour sales call, whatever.
Yeah.
They're going to be a lot more effective and get a lot more help by joining your year-long coaching program.
Right.
And so if my concern is really, it's about the person and not about me, it's not about my goods, my products, it's about them and what they need. The best thing in the world for them to do is to, as quickly as they can, get off the sales call with me and get on with you and get into the coaching, the actual training and that.
Do the real thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, the sales guy, listen, you gave him a nice teaser.
It's like reading a brochure about the trip. And like, wow, that's awesome. Instead of actually like taking them on the trip. And it's like, I helped them a lot on the call. Like, get them on the trip.
Yeah, they
stop giving them the brochure.
They watched the YouTube version of the trip to Italy.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, seeing the Colosseum on the television, it's the same thing as being there live. Right.
You're like, no.
not even close. Okay. And so, absolutely.
You know, I heard you say once, also that this is so key. So number one mistake of these new, brand new businesses, right? Entrepreneurs still trying to do sales. And if solely shouldering the role of sales is like the number one way for an entrepreneur to start resenting their own thing, right? And so then I heard you say once that, just like you said, getting someone to know the product that intimately, hiring a buddy, first sales mistake. Second.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of chief ads officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Sales mistake, and I've made all these mistakes. I'm so excited for you and I are doing together because I feel like everyone makes these. The second big sales mistake of a new organization is that they take a previous successful student or client or whatever, and they take a previous customer who loves the product and they make the customer the salesperson. It sounds logical, but please tell again why that's such a huge mistake.
Such a good thing to do for a customer service role.
Oh, there we go.
That is genius for a, or a, even a, if you got a SaaS product, a customer success role.
Sure.
Like that is fantastic.
But it murders sales.
Oh my gosh, it kills your sales because again, that your student, now they become the innovator, they become the entrepreneur, and all they can see is what's right in front of them.
Yeah.
They can't see past it, and they're looking at what works for them, what's good for them, not what's good for the customer. And they don't realize that it's not about your product. It's about
them. You're going to love part six, man. Yes, get in here.
Yes. Week seven, you're going to love it. Steve's going to do this and this and this. And they don't even care about that because they're still on step one. Yeah. And so it's
interesting.
It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to do for, like I said, customer success, a customer service role. I think that if you had somebody who was in sales and like maybe jumped into a program and did something like you could work into something like that, like if that's where they initially naturally were and that was part of what, but I would, your best way to hire salespeople is to actually go out and to hire salespeople. Not to hire your buddy, not to hire somebody who says that they could do it, not somebody who's a student. Your best way is to actually go out and to find, and if they're in your community and you hire somebody in your community into a sales role, that's fantastic if they're the right person.
And if they're actually a salesperson.
Yes, but it's really hiring for the role and not hiring the person. You and I have talked about that actually quite a bit lately. Hey, listen, we know what seats on the bus are. The roles, the things that need to happen for the business, are we hiring people or are we hiring for positions?
Right.
And so if you're actually hiring for a salesperson and you're not like, my buddy needs a job, but
I have wasted so much money on that mentality. I didn't know what I was doing. I hired so many people that are just, and I also think a huge mistake of new organizations or even those that are past 7 and 8 figures and they're trying to like offload the sales role from the attractive character model, you know, and attractive character is really only the only person who knows how to sell the product. That's a big mistake. But I've noticed though that I would hire someone and be like, they have potential, let's train them up. That half the time they would just leave anyway. And all I did is learn on my dime. It's literally better just to go hire an actual person who knows how to do it already.
Yeah, if you can't get somebody who can jump in and do sales when we talk about like, gosh, we don't have to know about all the details, nuts and bolts. I've got to be able to at least speak like at a 30,000 foot view of if I'm selling funnels or I'm selling marketing consulting. I have to know what a CMO is.
Sure.
I need to know what a funnel is or a split test. I need to know some key verbiage, some key words. But if I hire a sales guy and within maximum half a day, so I'm like in maximum 4 hours of them understanding a little bit about my product, and I really think that's even a little bit too much like on the clock, because if I'm a good salesperson and I'm getting hired for a job, I would have done some research on the company and would know a little bit about it and the products and goods I'm selling, that I could literally, you could say, tell me what the person's name is and what they're selling and we can jump on and I could sell it. It wouldn't matter what it is. It wouldn't matter what the niche is, wouldn't matter who the people are. That I don't have to know the details. I don't have to know the nuts and bolts. I have to know a little bit about it so I can speak the verbiage. And then I have to know about the people. I have to care about them and know and understand that my goods, my products, my services are going to help them out and make them more effective.
Yeah, that's powerful. That means that yeah, that it's, it really is the splitting of those roles where it's like, you know, I gotta get it. I really think the beginning of any organization, excuse me, beginning of any organization, that innovator really is the best person to sell, only because they are directly going back to the lab and improving what they created. But as soon as that phase is good, you got to walk away.
See, as soon as it's created.
Yeah.
I would say something's not really created until it's like actually sold in the marketplace. Like it's actually viable. So yes, the solopreneur has to get out there. They have to sell it. Once it's created, hey, I've got my baby. It has been created. Get away from selling it. As whether you're the solopreneur or whether you have 1,000 employees working for you, you should not be the guy that's doing the sales. If you're the innovator, you should be the guy that's like talking about how exciting the new things are, and your sales guys should be focusing on the people and how your goods, your products, your services can help them.
Yeah, I think that the innovator is actually, because I really want to point this out, that we're not saying that the innovator should stop focusing on features and benefits. We're saying keep doing that, but not in a sales capacity, because that's what's keeping people from buying. But it feels so opposite.
Well, and Steve, it literally is. You've got to, as an innovator, you have to separate yourself and say, listen, sales is not my role. And I've hired a salesperson and I trust them and I've implemented them and I've got systems and I've got checks and balances and we've got like all those things set up and in place. So it makes it super easy for the innovator to be able to look at it and say, hey, everything's going good and I can keep an eye on it and I can make sure my sales are going good without, I don't know, 5 minutes a day. And I can check in on the sales and make sure everything's going good, working on it about 5 minutes a day. And the rest of the time I can be out innovating. I can be doing the things that are in my superpower. And why, like Steve, I can sit down and I can go through QuickBooks and I can look at spreadsheets and I can do the accounting side of things. I hate it. I'd rather pull my fingernails out. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, even though I can do it, why on earth would I?
Doesn't mean you should.
I believe as human beings, God's created us so that we can do whatever we want. And I fully believe that. And if I've got to learn how to do accounting and look at spreadsheets and I got to learn Excel to be able to be successful, like I can do it. But I've spent the last 35 years of my life perfecting my craft in sales. And there's somebody out there who spent the last 35 years of their life in accounting. You wouldn't take the accountant and put them in sales.
Yeah.
You wouldn't take the sales guy and put them. So why does everybody just focus on what they're good at? And if I can focus on my superpower of sales and the entrepreneur, the innovator can focus on innovating. Imagine what happens to a company. Because now it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's like, what, 1 × 1, math is bad, but now it equals 4, right? Right.
Yeah.
You've got your two people and it equals 10. And so it's like, I have that power of multiplication rather than just addition or just me doing things on my own. And it's, I still want to keep my pulse, my touch on the sales, because that's where the revenue comes in as the innovator, as the owner of the company.
Yeah. Still, you're still looking at it.
5, 10 minutes a day is really about all you should be spending. And you can manage it and handle it without having to step in and do it all.
Some serious leverage. I mean, honestly, really. You know, it's interesting. We really are the only business space that I know of that tries to have the same person be the innovator, the marketer, the salesperson, fulfillment, sales code.
Glorify him.
No wonder all these innovators burn out. It's like no other business space on the planet tries to have the same person. It's ludicrous. It is the short road to burnout and resenting your own creation.
I've sat in meetings where it's almost, if I'm not wearing all 15 hats that a business owner, that like every, if I'm not owning every role and I'm not wearing every hat in the business, I'm not a successful entrepreneur. Yeah,
I'm not tired enough to be considered worthy.
Listen, if
dumb.
I'm not the guy that's cleaning the bathroom and taking out the trash and inventing the product and selling it and doing the marketing and running the social media and making sure that the legal department and the accounting and payroll is all done, I'm failing.
So funny, man. It's so backwards.
Well, Steve, can you imagine telling your kids, hey, listen, I know that football, soccer, and cross country are all in the fall for boys, and I want you to play all three of them. I want you to figure it out at the same time. Yeah. We wouldn't tell our kids that, but we're expecting that of ourselves.
It's crazy.
So as quickly as you can separate yourself, you're going to be happier. You're going to make more money. You're going to help out more people. It just makes all the difference whether you're the solopreneur, whether you've got a huge corporation. Separate yourself from the sales as quickly as possible.
One of the ideas I've been trying to pound also into the market lately has been that you think about it. So all four functions of a business, right? All companies have to be able to get a lead, sell, deliver, resell, and upsell. Like that's it. All businesses, right? But it's interesting. I've been trying to tell the funnel and internet marketing world how much like a sales funnel is for sales. There's no marketing in a sales funnel. But then when I start talking about sales, or with people like, well, I sell a $7 widget. I don't sell any kind of business coaching or consulting. So therefore, what you guys are talking about doesn't actually affect me, but I'll just use my sales funnel. And I'm like, it's still a sales function. Like, what is it that you, let's say that someone's watching this right now and they're like, well, I don't know that I could ever have a classic setter closer phone sales kind of thing. That doesn't fit my business model. This stuff still fits them though.
It's applicable for any market, anything at all. And whether I've got a $7 widget that I'm selling, like if you don't have someone who's coming in and looking at how you're selling that, and does your sales funnel on a $7 widget, does it become the salesperson?
Yeah, it
probably does. If I don't have a salesperson who's looking at it and how it's working, and I'm making sure that it's actually about the client, the customer, and not about me. You think about the testimonials like weight loss products and it's not a $7 widget, but what like a $50 bottle of pills.
Sure.
Okay. Whatever it is. And I'm not going to sell a $50 bottle of pills with a setter closer model. Okay.
Right.
But what do they use? They use testimonials and they use before and after pictures. And it's like, oh, hey, that person lost 50 pounds because they took, that pill. If I took that pill, I can lose 50 pounds too. Mm. And so now it's, they don't care that your pill has ephedra or caffeine or vitamin B in it. They don't care about all the features and benefits.
Yeah.
It's like, how's that going to help me lose 50 pounds? And so now all of a sudden it's like, hey, so I've got a fidget spinner and I'm using it because my kids have ADHD. And now I have these kids like I have before, and like kids like bouncing around and jumping up the walls. And, then next picture I've got, kids sitting with a tie on, reading a book and like studious and laughing. It's being silly.
Right. Sure.
But I can do that through those testimonials, and I'm removing myself again as the salesperson, if that makes sense, because now the testimonials become that salesperson.
Interesting. Okay.
And it becomes about them instead of about me or my goods, my products, whatever it is. The reason I buy my $7 fidget spinner is because I've got this mom who's pulling her hair out because she's getting a call every day from her third grade son's. Okay, I'm talking about my childhood teacher. My mom always got third grade teacher. It was my fourth grade teacher was always calling my mom. because Robbie's bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
Right? Well, now mom's not getting calls from the fourth grade teacher anymore. And so it's about these things. And so remove yourself from that as you being that salesperson. So now it's my fourth grade teacher gets up and Robbie was a pain in the neck. And now because he has this fidget spinner, so now all these fourth grade teachers, now they're all buying the fidget spinners for $7. And so now they become that. And even there, they're removing themselves from that sales process. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
It gives me credibility. It frees up my time and it makes my sales a heck of a lot easier. And it removes me from the process.
So I've got just last two questions here with this, but it kind of dovetails off that just a little bit, that at what price what point or price or market does it make sense to have a traditional closer setter phone model? Because I've noticed, it's funny, Russell and I were talking about this, and if you look at any company that's really blown up, they use phones. The internet is the worst salesperson on the planet.
100%.
Sales funnels are honestly the worst salesperson on the planet. They're good. They're effective, but it can't customize. It can't write. Every company I've ever seen explode, they do use the phones. At what point does it make sense to do that? Because again, maybe we're not talking to those with $7 fidget spinners. What are those businesses that should have it? Because I'd say 80% of the people that I consult with and fractional CMO for should have it, but they're thinking to themselves, no, it's not for me.
This isn't like totally cut and dry, but I would generally say anything over $5,000 on a price point on, let's say for sure. And usually anything over about 1997 is...
That's kind of where you look.
Yeah, yeah. If I've got a $2,000 product, first of all, if I've got a $2,000 product, I should definitely have a $20,000 or a $25,000 product as well.
Yeah.
Which means that it would make sense at that point to have it. But it's usually once you can sell from a webinar a $997, a $1,997, and you can do that. You can use the technology, all that kind of stuff. But even if I'm on a webinar for $1,997 and I do great and I have great conversions. Gosh, I can have sales guys or the systems that we have to reach back out to my attending on buyers and pull more money out of them. And there's so many things that, and you know, we think that we do that so often through like our emails or our texts and things. There is such a difference between that actual human connection. I mean, the reason people listen to a podcast or watch a YouTube video is because they want to have that human connection. They want to hear somebody. They want to have somebody talk to them. They don't want it to be just through text. They want more interaction. They want more experiences.
Yeah.
And if it's just done just strictly on online, for me to go out and to drop $5,000 on something without actually talking to a live human being, me personally,
sure, yeah.
I struggle with that. Like, can I spend $1,000, $2,000 without I get $5,000. So I would say if I've got a $2,000 product, you can comfortably sell $2,000 products from a webinar, but you're still probably going to want a sales team because if you got $2,000 product, you should have a $25,000 or $50,000 product as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So anybody who buys your $2,500 or $2,000 product should be that. Those are my hottest leads.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I want to. Those are the people. Me as a sales guy, somebody spends $2,000 on a webinar. Those are the people I want to talk to sell the $50,000, the $25,000 programs right away. They are my hottest leads. They've just spent money with me. They're excited. They want to do it. The best time for them to buy is when they've already bought something.
Sure. That makes sense. This is kind of the last question and topic here is that, I was thinking backwards on, thinking about $2,000, $3,000 price point. I was thinking about this the other day, how interesting it is that before there was the funnel, there was the pipeline. And this blows my mind. All right. A few weeks ago, right? I'm running my mastermind. You're in here. We're doing and 80% of the room didn't know what a pipeline was. And I was like, holy crap. The market thinks a funnel is a pipeline. They think that an email list is a CRM. They think that I was like, and maybe not everyone on that second one, but could you just, this might be a tough question here, but what's the difference between a pipeline and a funnel? Because they are wildly different things, right? And I'm blown away at how many people just do not know. And a lot of people think also that a CRM is a pipeline. Like, people are not developing pipelines. No wonder they're still stuck in the sales role. And no wonder they think they need a billion more leads than they actually do. And you don't.
Okay, so when I was...
I don't know if that was a good tee up, this is a really huge topic. And I think it's the structural thing everybody's missing.
Well, Steve, so when I was 18, 19 years old, I actually went and stayed in Washington, worked on the Chevron pipeline.
Okay.
So it's pump and gas. And a pipeline delivers fuel at multiple different locations, lots and lots of them all across. And this one that we were working on, multiple locations across the Western United States.
Mm.
Okay. A funnel allows me to do one thing, one place. And so if I've got a funnel, I'm putting oil in my truck. I've got the funnel, I put it in, I put the oil in my truck and it one thing, one place. And it serves one purpose. It is a order page. It walks up. A pipeline is where is everybody along that route, along that path. And so the pipeline that we're working on in Washington, it delivers gasoline to Spokane and Tacoma and comes down here to Boise and Pocatello and across Salt Lake City and Denver. And it goes all these. And so I've got my leads in these different places. Okay. And so working them effectively. So, hey, the place, the vehicles that people drive in Spokane are different than that they drive in Southern California. And so I need a different, I've got a different market. They're at a different spot, a different place. And I need to advertise and market to them. I need to sell them different ways. And there's different ways that I work them through that. Hey, this is a contact. Mm. This is a lead. This is a prospective buyer. This is a buyer. This is somebody that is ready to rebuy again. This is ready to somebody. And understanding and walking somebody through that pipeline that it delivers at so many different places.
Wow.
Along that path. And so a funnel is great, but it only does, and it's fantastic at doing the thing that it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's funny because you talk to programmers, you're like, my software works great if people just use it for exactly what it's designed to do.
Yeah.
Like that, a funnel is designed to collect money, okay, from a sales page, to funnel it, or to turn into a lead, or to move to the next step in the pipeline. I've got my funnel, I've got my pipeline, and I've got funnels. I'm going to build this out. I'm getting this idea. So I've got pipe and I've got my funnels coming in at different spots along the way, but it's still the pipeline of everybody. And the funnel is just one particular part. I can have multiple funnels. I can have a funnel that drives in a contact. I can have a funnel that turns that contact into a lead. I can have a funnel that turns that lead into a prospective buyer. I can have but it's still all along that pipeline.
It's still a pipeline.
And understanding that is the process of, it's really looking at the customer journey.
Yeah.
And understanding the customer journey from, I've never heard of you, I don't know anything about you, your goods, your products, your services, to I've made multiple purchases and I've spent millions of dollars with you. So there's a different part and a different funnel to bring everybody in at each level of the pipeline. Does that make sense?
To move down the different stages.
100%. A funnel and a pipeline are totally different in the customer journey, and there are multiple funnels that take place inside of a pipeline in the customer journey. It's not just, I have one funnel and that funnel is my pipeline. No, there's multiple funnels in that pipeline.
It's funny because I'll be like consulting somebody. I'll be like, all right, share with me your pipeline. They bring up a funnel. I'm like, no, your pipeline. And then they'll bring up when someone buys this, we're moving from this email list to this email list. So I'm like, holy crap, that's, or a lot of times people will be like, they're just using Google Sheets as a pipeline management tool. And I'm like, no wonder, that's like trying to drive from here to New York and really you're still using Google Maps, but every town you go to, you have to find another printer and just print to the next. Like it's that archaic, and no wonder people's sales systems really, really suck. They have stronger marketing than they do sales. And so they're drowning in leads, but there's no management of the leads. And I think that's one of the biggest holes I ran into was realizing, oh my gosh, I remember 3 or 4 years in, I sat down and I was like, I accidentally built a marketing company instead of a sales company that uses marketing. And that is wildly different. And I feel like that's what you and I are going to start doing with people, showing them like, if you've been a marketer for a super long time and never really built out, like you built mostly marketing engines and mostly lead creation engines, but you've never actually done the work to do like, oh, sales is different. Sales is not just a funnel. That's like the weakest form of sales. You're probably drowning in leads. You have a lopsided business, and another marketing thing is probably not the best thing you need to go do to make money right now.
It's not going to solve your problem.
No, you need more pipeline development to do stuff with the leads your company has generated, and they're just sitting on the fence waiting. It's like, what? Like, of course you're struggling.
So many entrepreneurs have so much money, and they know it too.
And you're like, I feel the money around me.
I've got so many leads around me. I got so many people I can work with. There's so many people interested in this, and I'm like, I'm not making the revenue because, see, marketing is critical. It's important, but marketing is not where I make the money.
Or selling. It's not.
There is no, from the business to the customer, there is no money exchanged on marketing. Zero. Mm-hmm. It comes with the sales process. I can have a marketing company, but if that marketing company is not producing the sales, I'm trying to give somebody who's someone who's desperate for water, and you say, hey, let's just give you steak. I know, like, keep eating steak, keep eating steak. No,
like,
no,
I'm
water.
Thirsty.
I'm thirsty. But it's finding that balance and realizing that the money comes in when the sales are actually done and actually completed. And the marketing just drives and fuels that. And having them be able to talk and work together is what makes businesses explode.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that. Like, there's if you look at like the really, really big companies also, they don't have a funnel in the traditional sense that we're talking about, but they have a very strong pipeline. They have a very strong sales management. They can get leads enough to create 100 million, you know, billion dollar, massive companies. And they're not walking around with tons of marketers, they're walking around with tons of salespeople. And I started noticing that, and I was like, huh, what is our world misunderstanding because we're like drowning in leads. Most of us are just like, yeah, unless I get a billion leads every day, my company isn't working. Yet on these other companies, these big organizations, they're like, hey man, I just need three solid leads every day or whatever. It's a wildly different view on the lead, lead value, what we do with the lead, how we treat it after a lead becomes a lead. And I was like, that's pipeline development, not funnels. They work together, but honestly, one does come before the other in terms of importance.
100%. You have to have.
And I say that with my background.
You know, there has to be that sales component. It has to come in.
Yeah.
And it's not about having more leads. And any, whether you're the entrepreneur, the solopreneur that's still doing the sales right now.
Yeah.
Or you're a professional salesperson, every single one of them would absolutely, without question, tell me they would rather have less leads, much higher quality,
yeah,
than massive amounts of leads that are low quality. Let's market, let's do it the right way. But I don't need, but before we had to have 60 sales guys and we needed 1800 leads a week.
Yeah.
And we're like hating it. We hated what we were doing. We 60 sales guys, it was a pain in the neck. Oh my gosh. They were prima donnas. We're like entitled. We have egos. I can say that because I'm a sales guy, right? Like, I can say all those things. What a pain. And then to go to making more money, more revenue with only two sales guys and only needing about 60 to 70 leads a week compared to 1800, but like night and day difference by just doing it the right way.
I think that's one of the mistakes though, that you see a lot of people in our world make, is that I'm like, we're about to go hire a marketing manager. And I'm like, you don't even have a sales manager or a sales function built. Why would you go hire a marketing manager? Well, we need someone to schedule out our social media posts. I'm like, stop it. You're building the machine backwards. Like, you literally are putting the cart before the horse. The point is to make a sale. You should have a sales focus. And then once that thing is working, but now let's turn up the lead flow with more marketing focus and energy. Like, it's like trying to catch a baseball, but you got all these holes all over. So it doesn't matter how many baseballs you throw, you're not going to catch any of them.
Or filling up a water pitcher with holes in it, and hey, I'm done with the water, but it's just going out. And it's not,
we need more leads. Of course you do. It's draining all out the bottom. It's like,
yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
Instead of, hey, let's just put a little bit of water in. Let's catch all of them.
Yeah.
But like everything. And so now you as the innovative entrepreneur are happier.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you don't hate your product. You don't hate what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're making more money. You're helping more people out. You're getting more notability because people are seeing what your goods, your products, your services do. Everything that you want to do, it gives you that leverage to go from being the entrepreneur that's overworked, that is stressed out, that isn't spending time they want with their family, that's not making the money that they want, that's not helping out the number of people they want, to giving them the leverage to say, hey, I can actually do all the things that I want to do if I can focus on my superpower.
Yeah.
And Robbie and his sales team can focus on their superpower, and Steve can focus on the marketing and their sales power and their superpower. And now all of a sudden everybody's happier. So funny. See, I was in Mexico and with a bunch of chiropractors, and they were asking me what AI was going to do to sales. And is AI going to replace sales, salespeople? And absolutely. The bad ones.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a perfect response. I was like, yeah, he's gonna say yes to that.
Absolutely going to replace salespeople, the bad ones.
Yeah.
What a blessing it's going to be for them, because now these bad salespeople, it's not their superpower.
Yeah.
Are gonna be able to go out and find what their true mission is, what their real superpower is, and do more good in the world because of it. And the best salespeople are just gonna become better. Yeah. But like that, it's just gonna enhance across the board. And so if I can focus on what I'm best at and you can focus on what you're best at, everything grows exponentially.
Well, I think it's a good time to let everyone know that we've partnered together and we are going to be doing...
Baby. Such a long time coming. Excited.
Honestly, right? Yeah. And so but it's to serve this very conversation and function that marketing and sales are supposed to be talking. Right. And a lot of time I know, like, sales will often be like, oh, I need more leads. Right. And then marketing will be like, oh, those leads I sent you were good. There needs to be a healing of that conversation there. And there needs to be better communication back and forth, because they work together. Both look bad if either is not working.
What if marketing said, I've got these great leads, and sales said, hey, these are awesome, but hey, do you think maybe we're getting this concern a lot? Could we try and tweak this just a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, instead of having the ego and the pride of like, no, it's... Again,
I sent you great leads.
I'm right in front of it.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, just check this out. leads were great. Don't stress out about that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But could we tweak something? And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're communicating. They're talking and the best things happen.
Yeah.
For everybody.
It's been so fun. And I'm just going to toot our own horn here as well, that before we even had an EIN number, you want to tell them?
this is so cool. We've talked about building the business and like working on it.
Yeah, we're working on it.
It's so funny. Some people are like, well, what's your business name? My wife is like, yes, what's the bank account? Like, are we going to pay an accountant to set up the corporation
and all that stuff? Yeah.
And I said, well, Sandy, why would we do that before we've made any money? Why don't we make some money first and then pay the accountant to set everything up out of the money that we made?
Right.
And she's like, that's backwards. And I'm like, no, that's like, we're really bootstrapping. So we got our EIN number last week.
Yeah.
We've done over $1 million.
We've already closed over $1 million.
$1 million in sales and just officially had the company. It's something we know and we understand.
Yeah.
That literally if people will just listen to the process and they'll do things the way that we teach them and train them, it's going to give you the leverage that you need to free your life up to focus on the things that are most important to you and to focus on your superpower.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be doing a workshop. We're going to be doing a masterclass. We're going to be doing a book together, lots of stuff. So we can help people develop pipelines, because that's really, I mean, the entrepreneur in us freaks out and usually taps in. We're like, oh no, the bank account gets low. So then the innovator gets called back into action and they start getting, it's that burnout wheel, right? They're just on this burnout cycle more marketing is often, usually they have enough leads. There's just not enough sales activities happening. So we're going to help people go develop that. That's
100%. Yep. Well, and so we're going to do a masterclass.
Yeah.
Okay. And there are so many different things that I thought about, hey, what's going to be the best, most effective thing for the masterclass? Guys, when we do the masterclass, it's probably going to be here in a couple of weeks. I'm going to teach on bulletproof hiring for hiring sales superstars.
Hiring.
If there's something that you guys are like, no, we don't need hiring. We need something else. Shoot us a DM, holler at us. We can talk about something else, but really what I've found, what most people feel like they need is finding, hiring, and training sales superstars. And so that's going to be part of the masterclass that we're going to talk about. And we're just helping people to leverage the systems and the capabilities of other people. It's just people working together on what they're best at, Steve.
Yeah. It's like, if you think about it, like, I mean, just everything we've been saying, the quickest we can pull the innovator out of the sales role. You know, and it can't be left void. So hiring becomes one of the first things you got to do. And then pipeline develop, all that stuff is still, you know, matters, but it's really impossible to do without hiring the right person in there. So it's thesaleslever.com. They'll put the link down below as well. You can get
come out with this. And
yeah,
this is just exciting. And it's something that for us that it's, I guess this particular business is a new venture, but it's not a new venture.
For us. We are not new.
Steve and I teaming up together. It's a new venture, and it's something that our plan, our goal is just to help and to serve. And you guys built so many good, amazing, cool, you're good. Your products, they are awesome. When I say nobody cares about your product, like I don't want to say like.
That it doesn't matter.
I'm not saying your products suck. Okay. I'm saying you guys have built such great stuff. You're the stumbling block to getting it out to the world. How many people don't know about your goods, your products, your help, your services, your coaching program, because you're in the way? Let's get you out of the way and leverage you to go out and innovate and to do more things, and to leverage us to do the sales and teach you how to do that.
Yeah, especially I've noticed it's around that 7 and 8 figure mark. When you hit that spot right there and it's been years and you're still like being called, it's literally a leverage problem. You're missing actual pieces of structure. You can't build a taller building. Your foundation is jacked already. So that's the thing to go fix.
Or you get the Lean Tower pizza that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's, yep. Yeah. Yeah. And then you're constantly propping it up, trying to, let's build another product just because we have to get more cash flow.
To stabilize.
Yeah.
Stabilize the Tower Pizza, and it's like, is that pizza or pizza?
Pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
We'll go get some pizza after this.
It's like, let's not build another product. Let's do it the right way.
Yeah.
And if you have a 7 or 8 figure business where you've done it, it hasn't worked out and it's the wrong way, like, it's not that hard to redo it. you got to jump into the system. If you're starting from ground level, just do it the right way the first time, build the foundation the right way, and make sure that your salespeople are doing it, and you're just gonna help out a lot more people and be a lot happier in your business.
And I would say the test to see, like, oh, should I actually go check out what Robbie and Steve are doing? Would be to ask yourself, are you constantly creating new products just so that you can have more cash flow, when really you should be scaling one thing? And if you haven't been doing that second part, it means you're stuck in it. That is the test right there. If you're I got to make new things and a new thing and a new thing and a thing. It's like, well, you have a scaling issue. There's no way you're actually going to go. You're going to stay on that hamster wheel forever.
Steve, I was listening to Marketing Secrets podcast this morning on my way in. And it was a Q&A with Russell, and the lady was like, hey, I do affiliate stuff. And he's like, okay, well, what affiliate products do you do? And she's like, oh, I've got about 50 of them. And Russell's like, okay, that's great. Like, are you making money with it? No, I'm not making money. Okay, well, choose one. Yeah. Okay.
And blow it up.
Yeah. And you guys have got these things. You create, so you get 34 products. You're like, see, we could dust the cobwebs off of some of your products.
Yeah.
And actually sell them. And,
yeah.
I mean, you had salespeople here. You guys have already created the products. They're already there. They're already good. And you're like, no, let's go create something new because I need my new shiny thing, instead of saying, no, what I have is really good.
Yeah.
Let's go out and sell it. Let's just sell it the right way. Let's market it the right way. Let's sell it the right way. Let's help people out.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to do this with you, man. It's going to be awesome. And it is sorely needed, especially right now in a world where lead gen costs are going up. And then I feel like pre-2020, lead gen costs and cost acquisition was at an appropriate level where you could kind of not have the sales structure you need. But now it's like leads literally cost more to generate. You have to be more intentional with them. So of course people are struggling. Why wouldn't they be struggling? It's like the math doesn't add up. And so you're going to build a stronger catcher's mitt and actually build leverage so that you're not the point of leverage anymore. Of course, people are getting crushed. Like, it breaks them. I should not be the salesperson for my business. Like, it does crush me. It's a weird hat to transition to back and forth also.
Steve, with the sales lever, okay, I'm not the salesperson on the sales lever. I'm a sales pro. I'm a, like,
yeah.
Like, as quickly as possible, we want somebody else selling it to remove the innovator, the entrepreneur, from the actual doing the sales. Let's get them out there, innovating, talking about new things, training techniques, whatever it is. Get them doing that, and let the salespeople do what they do best.
Yeah, don't be the fulcrum.
Yes,
yes. That's what it just smashes you, yes. Just crushes you down, grinds you down to powder. Well, hey, go to saleslever.com. Thank you so much for being here, Robbie, and we're excited to work with you guys.
We're gonna see you guys soon.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.